I get knocked down, but I get up again with shake the dust off of my feet from the beginning.
Yeah.
Still standing in the rain, hate to fall back. Thought I was gone, but I'm back. J-Dab track. And I'm made back with this dot. You blessed not, I'm blessed high. Dust off, cause my vision ain't done yet. Chrome him alone, we the best.
You ain't gotta stay that long. Anytime you fall, it makes you stronger. And finish this race, you're going to a higher place. The residue of your past, what you know won't last. You've got some place to be. A destiny is waiting on you.
You think it's all over. Devil got you peeping over your shoulder. He's got you thinking you lost the fight. Even trapped without his mind. Keep you in the mud, cause he knows that with our blood,
you're the winner in the end.
And there's no way he can win.
You wonder why you need too many chances,
and everybody else will be advances
to the next stage of their life.
And why it feels like a kitchen knife
deep down in your soul.
Come in your heart, you go
that you could be someone else,
doing so much better than you ever been.
You ain't gotta stay that long. Anytime you fall, it makes you stronger. Get up and finish this race. You're going to higher place. The residue of your past, what you know will last. You've got some place to be. Destiny waiting on you. So lift your head up, Zion.
There's a remedy for you.
Remedy for you.
This is what you got.
This is what you got.
You don't even care. It's like you don't realize it. It's like you're all surprised when you're the reason you're stuck there. Like all you know is the law of prayer. But it ain't got to be that way. It's okay to move a stay, but you gotta really want it. Just get on top and own it. All you gotta do is need it. That's how your prayers will transmit. So when you get lost, and should you ever fall, just
stop. You ain't gotta stay there long. Anytime you fall, it makes you stronger. Get up and finish this race. You're going to a higher place. The residue of your past, what you know won't last. You've got some place to be. Destiny is waiting on you.
You ain't gotta stay there long. Anytime you fall, it makes you stronger. Get up and finish this race. Higher place,
the residue of your past,
what you know won't last. You've got some place to be.
Destiny is waiting on you.
Greetings, beautiful people. Welcome to our New Growth in Christ radio broadcast. I am your host and your bishop, Bishop Sidney P. Malone, and I am so grateful that you decided to join us today as we explore the beauties of the Word of God by way of the Kingdom of God. All of this is because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and so we're so grateful to have you, and we are honored to be on the Finding My Way radio network, and so we praise God for the founder, the president, the CEO, Miss Kayla Pageant, and we pray for her constantly. We pray for her victory. We pray for her destiny. We pray for all of the things in which the Lord has designed for her life. And so we thank God for her, and we thank God for all that He is doing within her life. We love you so much, Miss Kayla, and we're grateful for the call of God that is upon your life. We're also grateful for New Growth in Christ. That is the ministry which I am honored to pastor, and I am grateful to the Father for this ministry in Memphis, Tennessee, which the Lord is using to change not only our community, but he's also using us to change the world. Recently, we had an opportunity to go to Quito, Ecuador to minister there, as well as travel to different other countries and other nations. And we're headed to the Bahamas in the upcoming weeks in order to minister to a group of pastors that are there. We're so grateful that God is using us here at New Growth in Christ. And I'm just honored that as the bishop here, as the chief servant, as one of the chief worshipers that's here in the ministry, but God is continuing to show himself faithful as we trust him. And so God bless you, New Growth. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for how you are a blessing and an asset to the kingdom of God. Listen, I want to thank God for all of you who are listening from around the world, from every province, from every continent, from every nation. We honor the kingdom of God that is here globally, and we thank God for your effectiveness. We're praying that as we minister the word to you, that you will allow God to speak to you. You will allow this word to permeate your spirit, your soul, your body, and that you will experience the fullness in which the Father has for you. As a matter of fact, speaking of fullness, this is what we're talking about. This is what's been the emphasis in my life, what I believe the Lord is saying to us, and that is he wants us whole. He wants us to experience wholeness in every area of our life. I know it's popular many times to talk about brokenness, but I want to share with you, beloved, that being broken is not God's best for your life. Now, I understand that brokenness sometimes takes us through a process to a destination, but we should not fall in love with the process. We should simply be obedient through the process. And as we go through the process in which the Father has for us, we should worship and celebrate and praise him along the way as we get to the destination which he has for us. Beloved, do you remember the children of Israel? They were promised a land which flowed with milk and honey. And the Lord told them, I'm going to take you to that land. And when you get there, everything that I show you, it's yours. It belongs to you. But as they were leaving where they were, headed to where they were designed and destined to be, they had to go through this process called the wilderness. Now, the wilderness was not God's best. It was simply God's choice. Let me say that again. It was not God's best. It was God's choice. God chose to take them through the wilderness. He chose that particular path for them because God in his sovereignty knew that there were some things that needed to have been weeded out. There were some things that needed to get out of their system before they could get into that promised place in which he had for them. So he told them as they were going through their process, he said, I want you to build an altar. Don't build a dwelling place, but build an altar because the process is the place of sacrifice. The process is the place of worship. The process is the place where you reverence and you honor and you remember me. You do that through your process, but the process is not a dwelling place. So that's why he told them, do not become comfortable in the wilderness. Do not become comfortable in your process, because what you're going through is not designed to sustain you for the rest of your life. Where you are is not designed to sustain your destiny. Where you are is designed to sustain and aid your process. In other words, where you are is designed to propel you to where you need to be. And so you can't fall in love with where you are. You can't fall in love with your process. And for many people, being broken is simply the process. It's the tearing down of something that should not be. and the building up of something that is designed to be. But we don't, hear this now, we don't embrace brokenness as if it is God's best for our life. No, it's not God's best, it's simply God's choice. He chose for many of us to go through a particular way, but we're to go through that way, worshiping and loving and praising, but staying focused on the thing which is ahead. That's why the Bible says, Paul put it this way, he said, "Beloved, I've learned that whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content." He said, "I've learned to be content where I am, but I'm not satisfied where I am. No, I press on. I press toward the mark. I keep pressing. But I've learned that wherever I am, I can be content. I can know that God has his hands upon me, that God is promoting me, that God is preparing me, that God is propelling me. That's what my Father is doing in my process. So therefore, I've learned how to worship through my pain. I've learned how to praise through my trials. I've learned how to glorify him in this moment, because this moment does not determine my destination. This moment has come to pass. So, beloved, the will of God for you is for you to walk in wholeness. And so I want to speak that into your life. It is the will of the Father for you to be whole, for you to have all that he has designed for you to have. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, and I'm going to read it out of the NIV. It says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he goes on to say in verse 24, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Hallelujah. Now, I want to talk about this particular scripture, the wholeness aspect. I want to talk about it, and we started reading at verse 23, and we went down to verse 24, but I want to start with verse 24 and go back. The Bible says in verse 24, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." The one who calls you, the one who calls you. Beloved, it is important for you to realize that God is the one who has called you. He called you. If I were to call someone right now, before I call them, I would have an intention for the calling. Before I call them, before I even mention their name, I would know in my mind why I wanted them to come. And from that intention, then I would make my selection. Let me say that again. From that intention, I would make my selection. So because God knew what he intended for your life, he made his selection of your life, and he called you. So, beloved, when you hear the call, when you respond to the call, know that there is an intention for the call. He's calling you for a reason. He's not calling you just for the sake of giving you a title. He's not calling you just for the sake of giving you accolades and honor, but he is calling you because he has intended for a particular thing to be accomplished in your life, through your life, and because of your life. So the Bible says, the one who calls you, the one who calls you, on our perspective, or from our perspective, we need to know that there is an intention to the selection, but also we need to know the integrity of the one who called. See, just because someone calls you, if you don't really know who they are, if you don't know their character and their integrity, chances are you might not answer. If someone calls you on your phone and you're not familiar with the number, or if you don't really know who they are, chances are you might consider, is what I'm doing more important than answering this call? But if a familiar name or number pops up on your phone, then you, in many instances, will stop what you're doing because of the intention, because of the character of the person who's calling. You know that this is an important call. I need to answer this one. Beloved, I submit to you, the one who calls you, the one Alpha and Omega, the one who was here from the beginning to the end, the one who is your Savior, your Father, the one who created you, that one called you. I submit to you, stop what you're doing and answer the call. Answer the call that the Father has for your life. Answer the call to greatness. Answer the call because his intention has determined his selection. He knew exactly what he was doing when he called you. And you can trust in the fact that he would not call you if it were not serious. He would not call you if he did not know what he wanted when he called you. And if you did not know that the one who called you is a faithful one, he is a loving one, he is worthy of your answer. So our answer is yes. We sing this song in our church. I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I will agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. When he calls, give him your yes before you even know why he called you. You know that the one who called you is worthy of your yes. The Bible says the one who calls you is faithful. Oh, thank you, Father, for being so faithful in our lives. Thank you, Father, that you always come through. Thank you, Father, you always provide. Thank you, Father, you always deliver. Thank you, Father, you always protect, sustain. You are faithful. I do not discredit the faithfulness of the one who calls, and neither should you, beloved. The Bible says that the one who calls you is faithful. Now notice this, and he will do it. Glory to God. He will do it. What will he do? He will do whatever it is he said he would do upon you answering the call. Whatever he called you for, and you answered it, he's faithful, and he said he'll do it. And so can we thank God that he will do whatever he has called us to do? He will do it. But love it, it's not on you to get it done. It's only on you to answer the call. And when you answer the call, the Father said, I will do whatever I intended. Whatever I selected you for, I will do it. I will do it. So, Father, thank you that our destinies are already done. Thank you that our steps are already ordered. Thank you that provision has already come. Thank you that doors have already opened. Thank you that the right people will be at the right place saying the right things to the right people. Thank you, Father, you have ordered and guided our lives. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's already done. And we give you praise for the it's already done. We thank you for the it's already done. We rejoice over the it's already done. We bless you over the it's already done. Thank you, Father. So, beloved, he said, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. But let's back up. What will he do? The Bible says, God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. What will he do? He will sanctify you through and through. Why? Because he's the God of peace. And the reason why he said that is because he wants you to know that he's positioning you for peace in your life. Peace is the completeness of God. It's the wholeness of God. He is positioning you to have peace in your ministry, peace in your marriage, peace in your mind, peace in your mission, peace in your momentum. He has caused you to experience peace through and through. He said, I've sanctified you. I've set you apart for my use, and that use is filled with peace. He said, I'm doing it myself, sanctifying you through and through. And he said, I am not only sanctifying you through and through, just generally speaking, but he got real specific with us. He said, your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be kept blameless. Your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body, he said, will be kept blameless. Do you not understand what he's saying to us right there? He's saying that I am going to, in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body, glory to God, he said, I am going to cause you to be sanctified. I'm going to, in your spirit, the real you, I'm going to cause you to experience my peace. In your soul, which includes your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, your desire, I'm going to cause you to experience my peace. Oh, thank you, Father, for peace in our minds. And then he said, in your body, I'm going to cause peace to occur. What is peace in our body? Wholeness. Wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. What is peace in your body? Being healed. He said, I'm going to cause those troubled areas to be sanctified through and through, and you will experience my wholeness, my peace in your body. Beloved, I speak peace in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. You are whole. You are complete in every area of your life because the one who called you, he is faithful, and he will do it. Glory to God. So your peace, you have the peace of God. And he said, I'm going to do that in your whole spirit, soul, body, and you will be kept blameless. Kept blameless. I want to deal with those two words there. Kept blameless. He said, you're going to be kept or preserved blameless. Let's talk about these two. When he said, I'm going to sanctify your whole spirit, soul, and body to the degree where you are kept, the word kept means preserved. It means to guard or to watch while undergoing something. If you can imagine someone having surgery, everybody is not allowed into the operating room, but only certain people are allowed in the operating room because they need to preserve what's happening. They need to guard what's happening. It can't be exposed to all types of elements and all types of germs and bacteria, as well as all types of people who don't have the experience to operate. And so he's saying that when I am sanctifying you through and through, I am keeping you, I am preserving you, I'm guarding you, I'm watching over you while you're undergoing something. See, on our way to wholeness as Many of us are going through the process. The Father says, don't worry about it. I am guarding you. I am preserving you. I am watching over you. I am making sure that no type of contaminant can come in the process as you are moving from your broken state to that position of wholeness, of peace, of sanctification in your whole spirit, soul, and body. Glory to God. He said, I'm guarding. I'm watching you while you're undergoing it. How does he guard us? How does he watch us? Well, he has given his angels charge over us. They keep us in all of our ways. See, listen, beloved, you have angelic escorts who are watching and guarding the process. They will not allow the enemy to come in and to contaminate what God is doing within your life. Believe that, beloved. And you have apostles, you have bishops, you have prophets, you have pastors and teachers who are watching over your soul. That's why you must be submitted. Be submitted to a man or a woman of God. Be submitted to your local church body, because they will watch over your soul. They will watch you. They will guard you. They will protect you as you are going through this process from being broken to being whole. Because that's the will of God for you, beloved. That's what he desires for your life. He wants you to be whole. Why does he want us to be whole so much? Well, I believe it's found in this particular scripture. He said, I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to sanctify you through and through, your whole spirit, soul, and body, so that I can preserve or guard while you're going through this process, because I want you blameless. Beloved, that word blameless means so that there is no cause for censure. That's a word that we have here. Censure, meaning a public, formal expression of disapproval. What did Timothy tell us? Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice he said, study so that God can approve you. Because if God can approve us, then God can also disapprove us. He disapproves if we don't study. He said, I don't want you to be ashamed. Well, if we don't study, God won't approve us, and we will be shamed. It will be a public shame. And so the Father is saying, I am working on you to keep you from being shamed publicly, to keep you from being a public spectacle simply because you're broken. Listen, people will flock to people who are broken. Broken people will draw a crowd, but it's not for the right reasons. The crowd will come because the crowd is there to mock. The crowd is there to point fingers. The crowd is there to laugh and to scorn. The crowd is there to discredit. The Father is saying, I don't want you drawing a crowd through your brokenness. He is saying, I want you to be whole, so that there will not be a reason for you to be formally disapproved, publicly disapproved. Oh, beloved, isn't it good news to know that the Father is saying to us, I will not cause you to be embarrassed. I will not cause you to be ashamed. I will not cause you to be publicly disapproved. Why? Because he says, I'm going to make you whole. You're going to be whole in your speech, whole in your love, whole in how you relate to other people, whole in your presentation, whole in your preaching, whole in your association, whole in relationships, whole in your body, whole in your finances. You will not be broke in any area of your life. Why? Because the one who calls it, How can you say it? So, Bishop, the one who calls you, he's faithful, and he will do it. Well, Bishop Malone, how long would this go on? The Bible says he's going to keep you and sanctify you through and through. Your whole spirit, soul, and body will be kept blameless. Now, notice this. At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I'm going to keep you, and you will be kept until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's for the rest of your life. Isn't that good news, beloved? Yes, that is great news, and we give God glory and praise for it. Father, we bless you, and we thank you, and we glorify you for taking us from that place of brokenness to that place of wholeness. We love you for it, Father, and we give you the glory that we shall inherit the land. We shall fulfill our call. We shall glorify you with our lives because you are faithful and you are the one who's already done it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Listen, beloved, I love you. I thank God for you listening. Continue to pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you. This is your Bishop Sidney P. Malone of New Growth in Christ in Memphis, Tennessee, reminding you to keep going and growing with Jesus. God bless.